opening prayer today comes from the Christian Council of Asia, marking the Sunday set aside to pray for the people of China, Hong Kong, and Macau. Lord our God, enlighten your church that wherever it may be, it will never seek for its interests, but will only serve you faithfully. Grant your church wisdom and courage that it may break down all boundaries so that humankind will become one again. In Jesus' name, amen. So it's a very complicated time of year. The pressure's on to get all of the holiday planning details nailed down. We might have them up here, but we still got to get them done. Dreaming up delicious holiday menus to compose and get into the mail or online our Christmas greetings, to choose and mail or wrap gifts to make it in time for Christmas Eve. I don't know about you, but I'm way behind. Some of you are way ahead, I know that. I always get the first card of the year from Carol and Susan. They never fail. It comes in April. No. It's terrible when you're facing that kind of planning and execution. In this church family, we make things even more complicated by planning our holiday ham dinner on the same weekend as our Vianoc service. So tensions can tend to rise. The decorating has to get done. Thank you, Shirley and all the elves. The food prep has to happen. And to break the tension and bring us joy, since this is Joy Sunday in Advent, of course, Carol brings out the Sisters of Perpetual Motion and the Brothers of Perpetual Silence. And we're really grateful for that. It's a complicated time of year also because the lead up to Christmas is full of emotional landmines. Most of us are missing someone we love. Others are struggling with some life changes. Some live under the shadow of depression that is exacerbated by these winter months when darkness comes earlier in the day and feelings of sorrow deepen in that darkness. Others may be struggling with those extra bills that are part of this season, and they have to be faced right after the tree comes down and the lights are put away and the ornaments and the creche sets are set aside for next year, and then the bills start rolling in. And then we're presented with a further complication this morning. The confusing contrasts in our lectionary text. First, there is that stirring reading from Isaiah where we recognize the beautiful praises that have been immortalized in the work of Handel in the Messiah. And then there is this picture of a caged, imprisoned John the Baptist, this larger-than-life forerunner of the Messiah, reduced to a rather pale shadow of himself, second-guessing all that he has bet his life and his life's mission on, that his cousin Jesus is the long-awaited Messiah. So John, at this moment, is living in an existential place of exile. He's beginning to doubt whether Jesus is the Messiah promised. He's so perplexed by how Jesus is going about ushering in God's kingdom. We talked about that last Sunday. So John sends a messenger from prison to ask Jesus, "Are you the one who is to come, or are we to wait for another?" And Jesus' response is, "Go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have good news brought to them." In other words, his reply points back to the original context for this meeting when the people of Israel were struggling with their exile. They were tired of wandering. They wanted to return home to Jerusalem. They're fed up with the humiliation of their captivity under the Babylonian oppressors, living in despair. And the prophet Isaiah speaks to their deepest hopes, He calls them to hang in there, to have faith, to trust and believe that one day they will experience a true homecoming, that they will have their lives restored, that they will be healed, that they will know joy once more. And oh, the beautiful scenes that Isaiah describes to this despairing people of God. And then that thrilling, rallying cry, "Be strong, do not fear. The desert will rejoice and blossom, and rejoice with joy and singing. The waters will break forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. And God's justice will prevail, and God's compassion will reign." But we look around us and realize that not much has really changed. In unprecedented numbers, the people are still wandering in literal exile in our world today. The political scene is still a mess. I've been getting all kinds of emails from friends in UK about their election. We know what's going on here. Greed knows no limits. The physical environment is in crisis. God can still feel very distant from us and our everyday needs. And so we too need to hear Isaiah's steadying words today. Don't give up. Here is your God, Isaiah promises. He will come and save you. The kind of exile we experience in society today is not so much that physical exile, but we know there are people that are in physical exile. We live in another kind of exile, more of a spiritual exile in our culture, an exile that distances us from the values of God's peaceable kingdom. An exile to a place where our measure of success seems to be in what we have rather than what we can give. In the quest for power rather than compassion and mercy, where we are frustrated in our search for joy because we're looking for it in the wrong places. And where our frustration and despair boil over for many in the symptoms of an inner exile that we see played out in people with drug and alcohol abuse, in the gun violence, in the domestic terrorism that we're seeing that targets the innocent. Into Israel's experience of exile, into John the Baptist's existential sense of exile in prison, and into our own experiences in day-to-day exile comes Isaiah's promise that God has not forgotten us. God in Christ Jesus comes to bring us joy. He joins in our weakness. He holds on to us in our insecurity and comforts us in our fear. Listen to the words of James from our second reading for today. "Be patient, therefore, beloved, until the coming of the Lord. Strengthen your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is near." But it's hard for us because we're in between the promises and the fulfillment of the promises. That's where we live. That's our reality. And so I want to close with a story I think I might have shared with some of you some years ago. But I think it really captures the Advent spirit and what it means to be patient in God's promises, to journey forward in faith, expecting and trusting in God's good intentions for us. Sometimes it's easy to forget that God's intentions for us are good. So some years ago, I sat with a couple who had just checked into our B&B. And over a cup of tea that evening, I learned that this was no ordinary couple. They had fallen in love in high school as teenagers, but their families in South Dakota discouraged their relationship. Want to guess why? One was a Roman Catholic, and the other was a Lutheran. A mixed marriage, not good. Immediately, they dated each other, dated others, and eventually lost touch and married other partners. And Jerry ended up in Arizona and became a career detective. And Kate ended up in North Carolina. So they were as far away physically in this country as you could possibly get. Jerry's marriage ended in divorce, and Kate lost her husband. Neither had been in touch with the other for an entire lifetime. But Jerry kept thinking about Kate. And using his natural skills as a detective, eventually he began a search and he tracked her down. He could not forget her. And against all of his fears that she might have preceded him in death, she was very much alive. And eventually he found her. And the love that had taken root when they were kids in high school just rekindled. And they were married. Nice story. So I said to them, "What in the world are you doing in Pauling tonight?" And Kate, with a twinkle in her eye, she said, "I surprised Jerry for his 70th birthday." And then Jerry added, "Well, she's been surprising me for my birthday ever since we reunited." And then Kate, with delight, told me how every year, just before Jerry's birthday rolls around, she plans a surprise trip for him. She packs his suitcase, she makes all the arrangements, and then they simply take off. By car, by plane, by ship, whatever she decides to do that year. And this particular year, it was Pauling, because Jerry had children somewhere in the area. But Jerry didn't have a clue where he was going when she said, "Okay, we're leaving for the airport." He didn't know the destination of the flight until they were checking in. And he still didn't know after they arrived at LaGuardia that they'd be getting on a train and then from the station in Pauling, a little hokey taxi, and end up in a tiny little B&B in Pauling, New York. But one thing Jerry did know for sure, and that was that he could trust in Kate's love for him. That even though he didn't know where he was going, that he was safe in her hands. That they would journey together. And that the ultimate destination of the trip would be an experience of joy. The season of Advent is like that too. Like Jerry's joy in the expectation of what was to come. We too believe by grace through faith that we can trust in God's love for us, that we are safe in God's hands, even though we can't see for sure where we're going day by day. But God promises us that God's journeys are going to be right alongside of ours. Through all the complications of our lives, God will be with us. And that the ultimate destination of our life journey in faith will be an experience of joy. Our calling with Kate is to bring joy to others along our way. In Jesus' name, be strong. Do not fear. But heck yes, life is complicated. Amen.